Welcome to episode 331, or 331, if you're not au fait with my pronunciation of 3 and 30. Sponsors of this, we've got a new sponsor, Frog Grips, Australia's best and the global best gymnastics grips. Don't need chalk. Put them on your hands, grab onto the bar, and you'll never be able to let go for the rest of your life. You're just trapped there forever. Just stuck. You cannot move. James Newbury got world record pull-ups purely down to the grips. It was nothing to do with his historical training of pull-ups and other stuff. No, I'm kidding, but the grips are actually really good. If you go, you can search Frog Grips on Instagram. You can find them there. And Frog Grips on the website. You can buy your grips. Thank you to them for coming on. It's great to have them on board. Really cool. Really cool brand. Two really cool guys run the brand as well. And they've got like Irish sounding names as well. So that's kind of cool. Whoop. You can go to join.whoop.com/CPW. You will get a discounted band. And you will get a free month as well. And I get a kickback. And it doesn't happen a lot. So they're probably going to drop me. I would. But I get a kickback of, I think, $25 if someone signs up. So you get a free month and I get a month's worth of membership, which is kind of cool. So if you want to support the show and check your respiratory rate and your body temperature and your recovery and your strain and all those different kind of things, you can go to join.whoop.com/CPW. LSKD are in the midst of their huge Black Friday sale. You can go to lskd.co. You cannot use CPWLSKD, the code, for a discount this week. But once Black Friday is over and the website resets, you can use that. And I get a kickback from that as well. I think I get like a dollar for every $100 or a dollar for every $10 or something when you use that code. But for now, I mean, whatever stock they've got left, they're clearing out the whole warehouse. And they've restocked some of their stuff on the sale, which is pretty good as well. So you can go to lskd.co to check that out. And if you're in Australia, just leave it as it is. If you're in Canada or North America, there's a little flag in the top right hand corner. If you click Canada or North America, it brings you to the USA site. If you click rest of world, if you're in the UK, Europe, anywhere else, you don't pay taxes when you get it. So I know a lot of people are kind of worried about that. And you also get free shipping if you spend over $75 or something, I think, which is really good. Also, we've got Fitter. Last week, we had a Fitter roundtable. You can go to get.fitter.training to improve your coaching platform that you're offering. You can improve your community engagement by virtue of their white labeling and their community chats. There's benchmarking. There's a heap of different stuff. They really are just leading the industry. I use it with Selfmade. You can go to selfmadetrainingprogram.com to join that. Get a free trial. I use it with that. And I have never had an issue with the app in the entire time I've been using it. GoWad are also sponsoring the show. You can go to GoWad.app or you can download it in the App Store or the Play Store. Start your free trial. Find out where you lack mobility, what your shortcomings are, and then either ignore them forever or try and work to improve them and get better at what you're doing. You can go to BuiltForAthletes.com and you can use CPW15 for a discount on any of their multiple bags that they have. They've also got a new Red Bull Las Vegas, I think, backpack. Coming or out, one or the other. And they've got a duffel bag kind of rucksack thing as well. And you can go to d8fitness.com if you're in Ireland, and you can get protein bands, grips, plates, bars, whatever you need for your home gym or your affiliate. They also do machine maintenance, machine stocking for the official stockist of Assault. And they also get some concept stuff in as well. So you can go to d8fitness.com if you want to re-up your affiliate or improve the machines that you already have. Today's guest is Hayley Murillo. She is Hayley Adams' coach. She's a stunt actor, so is her husband. She's a coach and personal trainer for other stunt actors, for like regular actors, for producers in Hollywood, all this kind of stuff. Really cool. A recent mother as well. She was at Crash, whatever, a month ago, competed in the Masters there. So we chat a bit about that. We chat a bit about working with Hayley Adams and about the modern athlete. Oh, and go to coffeepodsandwads.com and you can pre-order. It closes on Saturday. We've got a sweatshirt, like a gray sweatshirt, like pullover. I don't know what it's called where you're from. And we've got this kind of light black t-shirt, like long sleeve t-shirt. You can pre-order them. There's international shipping, global shipping, all covered. I get the stuff. I write the envelopes, pack them, send them. So coffeepodsandwads.com/shop. Or if you just go to coffeepodsandwads.com and you can order there. I really want to hit the minimum number, so I'm not out of pocket on this. So go and buy one, please. Thank you. Enjoy.
For sure. We have a pretty cool light. I would move everything, but I'm afraid I'll mess the whole setup up. So
everything is like structured.
I'm just not going to touch anything.
But it came with like, there's like a remote.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
But I did the classic thing that I always do, like, even though it always causes a problem, I take the object that I buy out of the box and whatever cables, whatever, and then I'm just like, I just throw everything else in the bin. Yeah. And then, like, I bought, Savan was slagging off my mouse because my mouse takes batteries.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, like, GoWad renewed for another year. Thank you, GoWad. and I was like, all right, I'm just going to reinvest everything that they gave me into, like, stuff to make this better. So I bought like a mic, a stand that hasn't come yet, the light, a mouse, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the new mouse I got doesn't work. So, and I don't like, I'm Googling like the name of the mouse because I threw out all the instructions. And like,
for sure, yeah.
Yeah, obviously. And my wife was like, is there like a guarantee with it? Did you keep the receipt of the guarantee? I was like, no. And like, but this happens if I buy clothes, I rip the tag off before I put it on. And my wife's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you've been through how many times have you bought something, taken the tag off, put it on, and be like, no, I don't like it. And
I'm that's a no for me. I keep the tags on until I try it on and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna actually wear it.
But I think that's a girl thing. I think girls are way more clued in about returning stuff and they have less, like, I have anxiety or shame about handing something back, being like, changed my mind.
Dude, my husband's like that too. He's like, you know, I bought it, I'm just going to keep it, whatever. And I'm like, if I'm not going to wear it, I'm returning that. I think it's like girl math, you know, it's like kind of how we like to find like sales, right? And we're like, it's half thing, off.
Isn't it a thing where some people would like buy a dress for something specific, like a specific occasion, like put the tag on the inside and then just return it.
Yeah, I've totally heard of that, which is why I think they started creating these websites where you could like rent something for a weekend. But now dresses, because I went to a bunch of weddings this past year, the dresses actually have this like tag on that, like, if you do wear it, you can see it. And if you cut that off, you cannot return it. So, I mean, it's kind of smart, but I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't think... I don't know. This is saying that's wrong. What's wrong? Like putting a tag on the inside and then returning it. It's modern economics. That's what I call it. Is that a Shure mic?
Yes, it is.
That's the one I bought.
Okay. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. So it's coming on like Friday or Monday or something. It's not fucking cheap. How bad can it be? How bad can it be? No. And then I like put it in my basket. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's not. But I mean, it is. It's pretty cool. And my husband, he plays like 7 instruments and like does a lot of audio stuff. So we did lots of research on all this stuff and it's pretty good. So good choice. Good choice there.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm at a loss now. Cause like, I'm usually shit at bringing up links, but I'm going to be ultra shit today because I can't, this is just irrelevant.
Use the mouse.
Doesn't do anything. How are you? Where's your daughter?
She's in the other room. She might make an appearance. Who knows? She's awake, hanging out with my husband. She doesn't really nap, so she's like fully grown. You know,
she's like 9 months. Is she 8 months? 9 months?
She just turned 11 months. So
Okay.
We're about a month away from her first birthday, which is insane. How fast that went.
Is that going to be like understated or are you going to like rent out a hotel? And
you know, so we were like trying to plan our birthday yesterday. It's hard because it's like I'm very much like, whatever I do, I'm going all in. So like, I like, as far as like celebrations and stuff. So we're trying to figure out, do we want to do like something where it's just 10 people, or are we inviting everyone in Los Angeles? You know, so we're kind of going back and forth. And like with all the travel we've been doing, I feel very behind. Yeah. And let's be honest, this birthday would be more for, you know, the photos and the memories that myself and my husband want versus like her. She's not going to remember it. But yeah, so we're trying to figure that out.
I heard someone say the other day, they were talking about their child's first birthday, and they said it turned into like a, you know, an ostentatious, like ridiculous, like pageant. But then they were saying like, it wasn't actually like it had fuck all to do with the child. It was more so like, we made it, like we're alive and like everyone survived. We didn't kill her. Like we're all here. It's fine. And that's what they viewed it as. But yeah, it is, there's a lot of those kind of bizarre like milestones where our son is like 2.
Okay.
And next September, he's going to start in like, what do you guys call it? Like preschool, like play school?
Yeah, preschool. Yep.
Like, I don't understand. I don't understand how that has happened. And then 2, I don't understand like how, you know, like you say, like, oh, that kid will bridge the gap. It, like, this is a chasm between him and like school going. Like, he's a nut job. So I'm a teacher, so I'm fully anticipating the phone calls of like, hey, we need you to come in and just have a quick chat. happened again.
I'm ready.
Yeah, he bit.
We're like, yes, please, let's talk about it.
yeah. Doesn't keep that's me up exciting. At all.
Yeah, that's super exciting. It goes by so fast, and I didn't realize how fast it was going to go until I was in it. You know.
Yeah, there are like, I was thinking the other day. Who was it? Pat Vellner they're having another baby, and I saw he put up a picture of like his wife's bump, and then. Like the day after that, my wife showed me pictures of like our child when he was like a weird birth, like he was just kind of he just was traumatic, but like he was minuscule, like he was so small, he was early, really? Not like crazy early, but he was tiny, and there's like a picture of him sitting beside another child and they're the same age and he's about half the size of the other child, and now he's like a brute. But you forget like how insanely small they were and like how useless and just like inanimate at all. And then it's kind of like, I remember at the time thinking, God, this is so hard. Like looking after like one kid and then 2 kids. It's like, oh, it's so hard, blah, blah. That's actually the easiest phase is that when they're an inanimate object, that's just like might be upset, might want something, whatever, but it's a quick fix versus a fucking tantrum or like, you know, wrecking the house or like, you know, I once caught one of my daughter's shits as it fell from her ass. Like she was like 1.5. My wife has done it. You know, like they're the things that like stick with you till your grave. I think like holding another human's turd in your hand thinking this is adulthood. Yeah.
Parenthood, man. It's wild. That's for sure.
You do a lot of things that you think you'll never do. But she's like, I saw her at Crash and like I include my own kids in this? I think head over heart ruling, I don't include my kids. Head ruling, I do. Like the cutest baby I think I've ever seen.
She's is pretty cute. Like,
she is not so cute.
I don't know.
She's also a carbon copy of her husband. Like, it's like someone took his face. It's like Face Off, Nicolas Cage, but Nicolas Cage is a baby.
Yeah, I know. You know, literally, I haven't heard anyone say she looks like me.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I get that with my own kids.
I know.
Sometimes wonder if I was there.
Yeah, she is a cute baby. I honestly, like, you know, like, I didn't really pay attention to, like, babies before, and now I do, and I'm like, wow, she is a really good-looking baby. You know?
Yeah.
And I was fully prepared for her to come out looking like weird, you know, and just be like, oh, she'll grow into herself. But I was like, oh, she's pretty like cute. She's alert. Like she was like, just from the beginning, she's been very like alert, Like, she's always made like eye contact, and people would tell me like, oh, that won't happen for months. And yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. It could be just like we kind of threw her into our lives, you know, and like we're still doing the things we were doing before. And we didn't really, you know, change much. So yeah, this is costume one. So she was a snail. This was like a $5 costume and we crushed it. But yeah, this is costume one. We got some more fun Halloween costumes coming.
Yeah, she's absolutely adorable. That was a crash. Yeah. Look at that. Look, same face.
Just photo ready.
Yeah. But she's incredibly mobile as well. Like running, she was like nonstop running around.
Dude, did you see the video of her that went viral?
No, you mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. It was on ESPN, but if you go down a little further on Josh Ormai's page, she was like hanging onto a pull-up bar, or like it was a barbell, but pull-up bar.
Oh my God.
And we were like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know? And we were like, oh, we'll post it. And it just blew up. And I mean, half the world hates us, half the world loves us. And then ESPN and a bunch of SportsCenter, like reposted it and stuff. And I haven't read any of those comments because I was warned that they're not super nice. So I was like, I'm just going to stay away. You know, like I know she's good. I know she's happy. I know she's healthy.
Yeah. All the ones on screen are positive, apart from Adams and Ashley Wozni. She's always good. She's always good for a positive comment.
Ashley's got my back.
Yeah. It's funny though, isn't it? Like parenting and that kind of stuff. Like, I don't think anything garners comments more, or like people like intrusive comments more than either like parenting or diet. They're the two things that like,
it's just wild.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me, like, you know, just being around like the entertainment world, it's very much like something like, you know, when you post something, you put it out there and it's out there forever. And like, I've just learned, like, you don't read the comments and you don't engage. It's just not worth the energy, you know? Yeah. But
Straight facts from JR. It got a lot longer dead hang from a brand new, like, absolute facts.
Yeah. I mean, she might have a longer dead hang than I do.
Yeah. If she lasted 3 seconds, she's got a longer dead hang than I. So you were at Crash. We met each other at Crash and we chatted a bit at Crash. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, it was awesome. I've actually been telling quite a few people that they should check it out next year. You know, a lot of athletes that maybe they've never, been able to punch their ticket to the games, or maybe they've been trying to get to semifinals, regionals, you know, the whole ordeal, that they should really check this out. I had a great time. You know, I'm obviously not the fittest I've ever been, but I appreciated the programming. I thought it was really well-rounded. It was fun. I loved that I had to work on higher skills and stuff to prepare to show up. Mm-hmm. Just like the level, like the caliber of athlete that was present, not just in like the Masters division, but also the elite division. Like, I mean, that was awesome. And I don't know, maybe like, I know it was in South Carolina, right? Like, I just don't see like that many like athletes in the CrossFit space in Los Angeles. So to see like that many people like on that side of the country was so cool. And a lot of faces that I've never seen before or never heard of, you know, and I was just blown away with the talent. Like I remember there was a group of girls. I think they're in the army or like they're on like the team. Like there were a few girls, I don't remember their names, but they're connected to the army. And I spoke to them before they competed. So throughout the weekend I was watching them and I was just like, wow, they're very good. And I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that they have been to the games. I don't know if they've been to, maybe they've been to like semifinals this past season or whatever, but I haven't seen them much. And I thought that was so cool to see like new talent.
I think as well, like it's a very accessible environment for someone who wants to see what it would be like to go to that level, because it's like, it is an affiliate and it feels like an affiliate, but it also gives you the sensation of like being corralled, waiting in the corridor, coming out, like, you know, it feels like a semi-final, but it's in an affiliate. So you get the best of both worlds. Like, you're not going to be overawed, like, oh, fucking hell, like, and freaking out. But you still have that, like, you can kind of dip your toe and see what it feels like and get that experience without being just thrown in at the deep end altogether and, like,
drowning. Yeah, 100%. And the way JR ran the entire weekend, I don't think I've ever been part of a competition that has been more on time. Like in my life, you know, and I've been doing this for a very, very long time. So that was very appreciated from the athlete experience side of things. And I think honestly, like when you are competing, I think as an athlete, like that is like those little things like mean so much, you know, and it makes for a great experience. And really, like when hosting these competitions, you really want to make sure that these athletes are enjoying it, right? Like you don't, you know, there's been competitions that I have competed at where it's like things get pushed like 2 hours or like the rest of the events get canceled. Like it's just like, you know, or like the wrong, I don't know, the wrong sandbags are out on the floor, you know, or like someone has 100-pound sandbag, someone has a 70-pound sandbag, and you're just doing a different workout. So I've just like been to a lot of competitions where they are not ran like that, you know, and it was like so cool to be a part of. And I highly, highly recommend that to a lot of athletes out there, even athletes that have been to the games and maybe they are, you know, feeling like they need more reps, you know, or more practice. You know, I'm big on like repetition. Like I've always been kind of like, I want more, so I'm more confident, you know?
Yeah.
And I know not everybody needs that, but if that is the case for some athletes out there, to just like kind of get thrown out there, like just be, you know, put the pressure on yourself once in a while, right? Because I know for myself, like not having competed for, you know, a year, you know, just putting a little pressure on myself. I was just kind of like I'm like, oh God, I kind of forgot how to compete a little bit, you know? And just like, you do things that you don't know you're actually capable of, you know, when you do put yourself into situations like that.
Yeah. I don't know anything about the competitive side, but I do agree that it is a, like a valuable, you know, cog in the competitive season for athletes. You know, like there's athletes that are coming back from injury or athletes that are coming back from, you know, a break or whatever, that I think it's a reasonable touch point to include. And then I think as well, another aspect is like, there are competition organizers out there who could learn a lot from someone like JR. Like, you don't get to that militaristic style approach to timing by chance or by fluke. Like that's deliberate and it's ingrained. Like I remember when we were leaving on Saturday night, I think, without being asked to or without being hinted at about it, they all, like all of the volunteers and stuff, started taking up numbers off the floor and putting down new numbers on the floor and changing all the equipment out for Sunday morning and getting everything ready for that like community event thing he was running. And then same on Sunday night, everyone was clearing off all the numbers on the floor. And it's like, again, that doesn't happen by fluke. Like that's instilled from the top down where people want to do, like JR is a nice guy and people like to please him. And it shows. And then that makes his competition run smoother because people are like, hey, I want to do, like, he's a good guy. I want to do right by him versus like, fuck this guy. I'm going home at 6:01 or whatever.
Dude, yeah.
No, it's good. When we were there, so a few things came up in conversation. One of the things that came up was your work as a stunt actor.
Oh, yeah.
So, Like, how does that, do you just trip over and catch yourself and be like, shit, I'm really good at falling over? Or like, how do you wind up? Fall down the stairs on skates and be like, wait a minute.
I can do this. No, so I did grow up in Los Angeles. Okay. So I have been around the entertainment world my whole life, but I was never really looking to be part of it. I did grow up with a couple really good friends that they're big time stuntmen. They come from a stunt family. So I was aware of that career for mm-hmm. quite a long time. But fast forward, basically, like, I got done with college. I came back to LA. So I went to UNLV. I was a cheerleader there. And I found CrossFit. And CrossFit is where I met my husband. And while, you know, my whole journey in the beginning, you know, I started getting better, then eventually I coached at an affiliate. And we had a couple stuntmen that were like, oh, hey, like, there's this show. They're looking for guys that know how to fight. I told my husband, he auditioned for this show. This is kind of like the fast story. And he got a job. So he was able to do stunts full time. So basically, like, he has a boxing baseball background, so he can fight. And he was hired onto the show Marvel Universe Live. He did that for a year. It's a traveling stunt show.
Who was
he? He played the Hulk. So he was like in that giant costume. I mean, that thing, he'll have to kind of tell me, but I mean, nothing is heavy. Very heavy. And then also played like a lot of bad guys. So that was like, so we did that for, he did that for a year. Then I auditioned and I got onto the same show. Cause I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I would love to travel. And I have a cheerleading background, so I could like tumble. So everybody that kind of like gets onto something like this, they come with, some form of skill, right? Like, you don't, they're not just going to be like, oh, hey, yeah, you're great. Come on. So we all come
is it the kind of thing though? You know, you always hear about like actors' CVs and stuff where they're like, oh yeah, I can horse ride, I'm fluent in five languages. Like, is it that type of thing where as a stunt actor, you say like, yeah, I can be set on fire, no problem. And then one day you go to set, they're like, we're going to set you on fire. Like, oh fuck, I shouldn't have put that down. Like, are you able to lie?
Yeah, there is a lot of that. And let me tell you, in the stunt world, you do not want to put that stuff on your resume if you have not done it. Which is why like getting like stunt jobs is so difficult, right? Cause a lot of the time, like, those coordinators that are hiring you on, it's because they know you and they trust you. Right. Like, so basically I was on that show. We did that for 3 years. And then while doing so, we were able to do that full time. We traveled the world. We were all over the US, Canada, and Europe. We came back, we did some stunt shows out here. We joined the union. So we are part of the film TV union as well. That's on strike right now.
Are you allowed to be doing this interview?
Yeah, the interview's fine. but yeah, so that's basically like kind of that stunt show. That time frame is when we were able to pick up and learn a lot of skills that you wouldn't normally be able to learn. Just like because you wanted to. So things like car drags, high falls, where we're jumping 20 feet into a resi pad safely.
They're those big blue inflatable things.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah,
okay.
Into that as well. So that's an airbag.
And then there's when you say car drag, is that like as it sounds, you're literally dragging behind a car?
Yeah, you're literally dragging on a car. So that was one of my tracks. And you have like a special costume made. There was actually my first time doing it. They put me into this costume that wasn't broken in. So it was like Kevlar, like it's just this tight costume, and we're laying on the ground and it's like 3, 2, 1, you get up. It's kind of like a burpee. And I had to run after this car. So I dive for the car and my fingertips like clip the car and I just belly flop in the center. And this is a live show. So it's like, Yeah. And my husband was on the back of the car. So he's like, come on. So I get up and I'm like running. I mean, it was great. And I, you know, I have a helmet on, which is why stunts is so awesome, because nobody knows it's you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you don't have to brush your hair. You don't have to do your makeup. If you mess up, you mess up. It's, you know, and like, so basically, like, we picked up all those skills on the road. We moved back home to California, where we joined another live show at Universal, and my husband and I played the same track, and there was a fire burn, which was something I had learned on Marvel Universe Live. So my husband set me on fire for my first fire burn ever. And then I came here, did like over, I think I have over like 500 fire burns, like live show fire burns. So full body, like, yeah, pretty crazy, pretty cool.
That, like, you're obviously, that first time, are you just like fully trusting that like this will be fine? Or like, is it just like cycling a bike where, yes, there is potential dangers, but like if you're logical, you know how safe it is? Or like doing a bungee jump where you know it's, there is danger, but it's safe. Is just turn into that where it's just like, this has never hurt me, it's fine, and you don't even think about it?
I mean, like, there, you know, there are, were a lot of experts in that field. And when you learn from people that know what they're doing, you pick that up, right? And so I think just having specific people around me, and also my husband, who I fully trust, right? He's the one lighting me. It's like, you just need to know a few things, right? Like, so for fire, right? Like, if you are on fire, you want to keep moving, right? Like, you stand in place, you're going to be engulfed, right? So it's just like things like that. And just knowing, like, kind of like, how long is this burn going to last? Like, where am I going to go to lay down so I can be put out? Just like things like that. So it's like, you study it, you watch it. You go over the layers, you double check things. So it's like, stunt work is, you're not a daredevil, right? Like, stunts and being a daredevil are very different things. Like, stunts is like, you prepare to come out safe. Like, everything, like, the plan is to be safe. With being a daredevil, right? Like, things, like, you're just like, you're sending it and like, you don't know what's going to happen. And so I just feel like, yeah, there's a lot of things in the stunt world that are scary, but if you have the right coaching and the right people in your corner, like, I think that they can be done safely. Obviously, like, you need to be kind of good on the fly, right? Like, under pressure situations, like, there's, like, especially with live shows, like, there's been times where, like, you know, I'm going up to do a high fall into the airbag, and my spotter miss their spot. So they're not there. So I look down. If my spotters are not there, I climb down the ladder, you know? So just like things like that. Would I be safe? Probably. It's an airbag. The airbag was good. It's blown up, but my safety spotter wasn't there. So I'm not going to do this stunt. Right.
What's
so there's
their job? What's the spotter's job?
Like, just to make sure that they're double checking the airbag, making sure it's like inflated the full way, and spotting. So like the pads, like the airbag is very large, but like, say you jump off and you're off from the center of the bag, right? You could like roll off the bag or something. So they're just there for like extra safety. Like,
what kind of height would you be jumping from?
So I was doing like 20, 25 feet, which is probably, you know, like kind of like what we were doing multiple times in a show. There
that's
was
like the
one
roof. That's like the roof of a 2-story house, like around that, is it?
I'd say a little around less. Yeah, I'd say a little less. Depends, yeah. I guess.
The roof of my 2-story house.
Yeah, there's not a lot of 2-story out here in LA.
Okay, yeah, fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Everything's pretty small, but
yeah.
But yeah, so huge. Just like things like that. Or yeah, yeah, it's like one or the other, right? Like you either live in like a tiny little home.
It's either or 10 feet or 500 feet. Yeah.
Yep, that is exactly what it is out here.
And is all of your stunt work like live shows? Have you done like pre-recorded stuff? Like
movies, yeah, I've done TV and stuff, and just a lot of like, I would say like the stuff that I've done in live shows is like cooler in my opinion, just because like a lot of fire burns. I've never done a fire burn like on like film TV. And I think a lot of that one, like, I think a lot of that, like when we were really pursuing the stunt world, like I was also CrossFitting quite a bit. And like my size, like I don't, I'm not someone that's able to like double like a female actor. So there, you know, there was a lot of that. So it would have to be kind of like a little more like background stuff. But yeah, I've done like some stuff for like SWAT and some other shows. No movies, just TV. And a lot of it's just like earthquake explosions. Like I did this one thing, y'all think this is funny. It was, I forget what show it was, but it was like, they were like, hey, we need someone to lift a sandbag. I was like, oh, cool. Like my CrossFit training is paying off right now. Like, you know, I get the bag was like, I mean, it was like 5 pounds. And they were like, okay, you got to make it look really heavy. And I'm like, oh boy.
Just give me a heavy sandbag then.
Dude, yeah. So yeah, I'm like, just give me a heavy sandbag then. So yeah, like that was the one thing, because I was like so excited. And it was supposed to be this like dead body drag, like carry. But then COVID happened. And so they had to like change it to a sandbag, but the sandbag wasn't heavy, you know?
Was the sandbag supposed to look like a human though?
No. They just like kind of like
changed like the plot. It was like, you're going to carry this dead body. It was like, actually, you're just going to move this bag of sand.
Dude, yeah. I mean, a lot of that went on, but yeah, like a dead body, like, right. Like a limp body would have made more sense for someone of my size. But yeah, so, we still are part of the union. But we're not like actively like seeking jobs. And I think that's just because with what we were doing with CrossFit and what we were doing with stunts is kind of like merged together. So we're training a lot of people in the entertainment world, like singers, you know, producers, actors, all of those kind of people, because of our network in the stunt world and all of our CrossFit experience, it kind of like got married together. So we got a lot more calls for that kind of stuff, which is really cool because obviously you just can't like throw your body around forever. Like if we like book something, obviously we're going to take the job because we love it and it's so fun.
Are you any more reluctant to do things since Rogue came along?
Oh, no, no,
no.
Like, because I think the things that I was doing, like, I'm pretty confident. Just like I've done so many reps, you know, like there, and too, it's like there are experts in all the fields in stunts, right? And so it's like, as long as you're like honest of like with your capabilities and stuff, a good coordinator is not going to put you into a situation to where you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, the thing, like fire burns, like I just feel like I did so many, like that I'm pretty confident, and I'm confident in the people that keep me safe. And I think that is really important. Like I would never do a fire burn without people I trusted around me.
Yeah.
So
you wouldn't let someone just squirt like lighter fluid on you.
Absolutely not. And like, you'd be surprised, like you brought this up earlier, but like a lot of people, like, they'll be like, oh yeah, I've done fire burn. You know, like there's a lot of like, you know, they'll say what they need to say to get the job. And so this just chancers. Sometimes
we call them chancers in Ireland. They're called chancers. Yeah.
I mean, and I totally get it, because sometimes you need to just be like, yeah, you know, so you get an opportunity. But like, I don't think that that should always be the case with certain things, you know?
I think saying you can ride a horse is very different from saying you can be dragged by a car or like set on fire or jump off a building safely or whatever. So would you describe then like you're kind of, you mentioned the shift between kind of merging CrossFit and stunts and stuff and acting and stuff. Would you describe it as like personal training then for those like clients that you mentioned, like the actors, the singers, musicians?
Yeah. For some of them, it is, they are getting ready for a specific role, right? And so there's that. And then there's also the people that we just train to just be in shape and look good, feel good kind of thing. So there are some jobs that we get hired on for to where it is very specific to a role that they've booked. And then there's just people that, like, you know, they want to look good. They need help because they, I mean, they are busy people, you know? Yeah. And so just having like people that they trust, and we try our best to, you know, we do a pretty good job of like keeping their privacy like very high on like our priority list, and like we respect them. And I think that's why it's led to so many like, you know, cool opportunities within that space, is just because we're just kind of like, okay, yeah, we got you, you know, like we don't really talk about it too much. You know, we don't have the camera in their face when they're training, and, you know,
have you had any, like, you don't have to say any names, obviously, but have you had any where like someone walked in or like was coming or whatever, and you're like, holy shit, like play it cool. No. Like, has there been any of those kind of moments?
No, not really. I think for me, it's just like, I've been around Hollywood my whole life. And, you know, for me, I'm just kind of like, they're just normal people.
Yeah.
You know, like they're normal people. And like Josh and I, we see them at their most vulnerable too. Right. And so I think there's a really cool thing. Right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I think that there's just like, it's kind of like in the CrossFit space too, right? Like when you coach a class there, like you work out in a group, it's like, that's why people like, that's the like mutual thing, like you guys get to talk about and stuff. So I think, yeah, there hasn't really been anyone where I'm like, oh my God, so cool. There's been a lot of people where I'm like, wow, they're really cool in person. Like, or like they're exactly what I thought they'd be like, you know, which is always really, really cool, you know, cause you always want people to kind of be the same as they seem, you know?
Yeah.
And I think
even if that's an asshole.
I mean, like, yeah. I mean,
that guy be an asshole.
Yeah. Luckily we haven't really dealt with that. So I'm fingers crossed, but nobody wants
you said there that there'd be like some people might come to you for specific roles. Is that like, so would they be coming to you to want to be able to like, I don't know, work on their whatever, like plyometrics so they can jump on and off things or whatever and look more athletic? Or is it like, oh, I need like a massive chest and shoulders for this job I have coming up in 6 months. Can you help me? Like, is it that kind of thing? Or is it like actual movement?
Yes. Both actually. I mean, I can talk about, so Josh, he worked with Jack Champion, who is on Avatar, and that specific job was to get, I mean, he was like 13 at the time, and that job was to make him look like, you know, as ripped as he could be at like 13, and doing that safely. Right. And it's hard. Like he's 13 years old and, you know, he doesn't work out. I mean, I wasn't 13 working out at the gym, you know, doing like bicep curls and bench press, you know? So just like having, someone over his shoulder to kind of guide him through that safely. And so that whole job was to get him ready for the specific role in Avatar. Cause he was the only, like non-blue person.
So he I'm really slow at it, but I'm getting a picture of him up here.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he was like,
okay, that's him.
That's him in the movie. But like, so he was seen on the entire film, you know? And so just making sure he was like camera ready. So a lot of that, like a lot of the clients that we work with is to get them camera ready. And then there's just, you know, other clients that they just need a good workout in. And some, you'd be surprised, like a lot of people are in and out of LA. So we'll work with them for like months at a time. And then they are traveling the world and then they come back and they're like, hey, we need to work out again. And then they're gone. So it's just, it's you know, it's one of those jobs that I don't think is for everybody, to where like you're just like, oh yeah, there's Josh's name. To where like you kind of have to
a 12-year-old to a pretty ripped 16-year-old. That's just such a ridiculous line.
I know, it's so great.
That's funny.
That's great. Yeah, that article was pretty good. But yeah, I think it's like one of those jobs that like you kind of have to be ready to pivot at any moment. And it is definitely something you need to be prepared for before you are given the opportunity, right? So when this opportunity happened, it was like we had put in so much time, you know, when nobody's looking and nobody's asking. So when the job opportunity came, it was like, oh yeah, we're confident we can do this. So yeah, it's been pretty cool. And, you know, hopefully like with the strike and everything, hopefully that ends soon. We thought it was going to be over like last week, but it's still going on.
Is this the Screen Actors Guild strike? Because there was a writer strike, but that's over, right?
That's over, yeah. This is separate. And we thought that it was going to be like the SAG was going to kind of follow pretty closely to after the writer strike, but there's been a lot of back and forth. And I think I would assume, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff like on the AI stuff that is kind of going back and forth. And I think that's what's going on. So it'll be interesting to see if it wraps up soon or if they can kind of come to an agreement. Hopefully, you know, I think people are starting to just be like, okay, we're ready to work again.
Yeah. Even from my perspective, I'm kind of okay about it now, but I know there's going to be a point where there's just nothing to watch or not, where there's just a gap where it's like, shit. Like there's a lot random mid-season breaks in shows. That's just like how long. And I remember this happened. Was it like 2003 or 4 or 5 or something that happened as well? It's been
a long time.
And I remember there was like, I used to watch loads of American shows illegally online because we couldn't get them in Ireland. And I used to watch them, and I remember just like every week I'd go on, there was this website, I can't remember the name of the website, but there was a website you go on, it would just list all the shows and it would have links to them. And I just remember going on and there just like literally been nothing listed for like weeks and weeks. And I was just like, oh my God, it was awful. So
I think we're going to run into that again. You know, like it's great right now. But there will be a point, I think, where everyone's like, oh, this is awful. Oh my God. You know? Yeah.
You can even see with the Marvel movies are being pushed, like the ones that were supposed to be out like next summer is now it's like, oh, maybe 2028 or, you know, like they're really pushing them out.
Or like, you know, or two, are they going to even do them? You know, like who knows? Yeah. Like,
yeah, maybe,
you know, just like, are they going to reevaluate and just be like, nah, we're good.
Yeah. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Their most recent ones made quite a bit of money. So I imagine if they can get back to it, they'll get back to it. So that article there where it talks about Josh and that kind of stuff, one of the things that I've seen frequently like down through the years is either a trainer coming out and saying, here's how I got whoever like ripped as shit for whatever role they were doing, or you might have an actor coming out saying, here's how I got ripped enough to do like Hugh Jackman, here's how I got ripped to do Wolverine, or like Ryan Reynolds here. I always like Men's Health, and it's like Ryan Reynolds interview, like Chris Hemsworth interview, Chris Hemsworth stuntman interview, like, or a personal trainer of Tom Hardy or whatever. And like you kind of read the stuff, and it maybe it's duplicitous of me, or like I just have double standards about it or something, because I get pissed off when people accuse like CrossFit athletes of like, oh, they're all on steroids. I'm like, well, like, that's baseless, whatever. But when I see that, I'm like, that's a fucking quick turnaround from like, you know, thinking like Tom Hardy when he's in Bronson and he's massive and huge. And then he's in something else and he's small. And then he's Bane and he's huge again. And I'm like, come on, man. I mean, there has to be some additional little help going on there. Is that something, do you think that that's something that's common in those kind of circles where like, not, I'm not saying like it with you, the people that you train, but say actors who have you know, maybe 3 months to get ready for such and such a role. And like, maybe they're coming off, like Christian Bale being Batman being basically anorexic in his last fit in The Machinist or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
I do think that there are cases where people are using some help. Hopefully, like, they're doing it smartly and safely. That's just, you know, for us, it's not something that we're really super interested in. You know, but I'm sure, just like kind of how I feel like, you know, in sports too, right? Like, I am always hopeful that people are clean, but I'm sure that there are people that are using stuff to help them get to their goal faster. You know, as far as like,
there is kind of a parallel though between like, say, the professional CrossFit, like the CrossFit athletes that don't have to work, like, quote unquote, that don't have like a 9-to-5 job or whatever, and the actors that are like in a good enough place that they can say, all right, I'm going to be Batman in 6 months, fuck everything else, I'm just going to focus. And they just have like all day, every day, where that's their only focus, and they're eating towards that and training towards that, whatever else. And then you look at CrossFit athletes, they don't have any other responsibilities, and they have all day, every day to focus on. And both of those strands of people are accused regularly of, it's like, well, no one can do that. And it's like, they literally have nothing else to do for X amount of time.
I totally get that. Like, and I do think it's possible to, you know, if you are someone that just like has the time for that. A lot of the people that we've worked with, like in the entertainment world, like, it's like they don't have time like that, like all the time. You know, it's like they have a lot of like meetings, and like then they have to go talk to this person and go do this and go do that. And is it possible? Yes. I would think it's case by case, kind of depending, right? Like, they'd have to block off everything and basically be a full-time athlete to prepare, I think, in a short period of time. And I do think that some actors are very capable of doing that, right? Like, you're getting paid big money to do this role, like, do it right, right? So if that, you know, requires you to be in the gym all day, then I hope that they are in the gym all day. But I do know that they are very busy people, especially like the bigger they get, like, I feel like the busier they get, you know?
God, I would have thought it'd be the opposite. I thought like Chris Hemsworth would be able to just say like, fuck off, mate. And like not turn up to whatever he
needs. I mean, like, I'm sure there's a little like, you know, like they overslept and they showed up to set late, and like, it's just kind of like, all right, they look over it. Where if you're like the new person and you do that, you're never working again, right? So I'm sure there's a lot of like that. But I don't know. I just like, from what I know and like what we've like dealt with, it just like, they're very busy, like the bigger they get. And it's like, yeah, they can pay people to do XYZ, but they're just like always needed. Or like, I don't know, like they always got to like have their, you know, their nails done and their hair done, because, you know, they always got to be ready. And so I just feel like they're always just like slammed with appointments and stuff.
So then is it more, would you say it's more often than not more than just training then, if they're that busy and that in demand and that short on time?
Are they using supplements to
I mean, that's because I was kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt, but then it kind of made it, you made it sound like they don't have as much time as I think they have.
No, I mean, they like, it just kind of like, it's case by case, right? And so I do think it is possible to, you know, to get to a place where you are portraying a superhero. I just think there a lot more time and discipline goes into it. And I think like maybe like they start, the people we worked with, like they've started earlier than you think they've started, if that makes sense. Probably, so like if there's a Marvel movie coming out, you know, next year, we've already started working with them, you know. And I don't know, you know, what other trainers in the industry are doing. And I don't know when they start with them. I don't know when these guys start prepping with them. But like for us, it's like months out, right? And too, like with superhero stuff, right? Like a lot of the time, like these guys, they're in good shape, like, right? So a superhero. You need to make sure you're super like big on top and, you know, make sure that that's kind of what you're hammering. Like the movie muscles, as we call them.
I kind of always feel like as well, like, so every male, anyway, every male superhero has one per movie, like topless scene. Mm-hmm. So like Chris Hemsworth in Thor, topless, like maybe once per movie. What the fuck is his name? Chris Pratt. Like he probably had the most remarkable transformation of anyone from Parks and Rec. And then he was in Guardians of the Galaxy and he had that one topless scene at the start of Guardians of the Galaxy. And I've seen him on his Instagram story wearing like Spanx and shit where he's like, he obviously gets like ripped for that day. And then he's like, fuck that. I'm not doing that forever. Like,
yeah, for so I think sure.
There's also a lot of that as well.
Oh, I think there 100% is a lot of like, okay, it's coming up. I got to look this way for this day. And then it's like, I'm eating whatever I want for the next week. Right. Yeah. So there, I do think there is a lot of up and down and like, and you got to remember too, like they're very good at what they do, like acting. Right. Like, but they're also like human. Right. And so it's really hard to like, ask these guys like to do that. Yeah. You know, because that's not like they're not like a CrossFit athlete, right? Like where, you know, like they're wired a little different. And so, that doesn't surprise me, right? Like when you see them like super ripped and super shredded, and then like a month later they're just like
just normal.
I'm done. Yeah. So like, I mean. That's very.
It's like someone prepping for a show, basically prepping for like a bodybuilding show. Like you can't be like that all the time, like
100%. Like, and two, and like what's tough too is like sometimes like you are like they'll be like, okay, you got 3 months to get ready, like you know, and we're like, okay, that's great, that's enough time, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, in 2 weeks we're filming this, like you're coming, and you're just like, so there's a lot of that. And so just making sure you're kind of like trying to help them maintain. And then when it's like go time, it's like, okay, you're all in, like, you know, you got to be watching what you eat, like everything. But if you ask that of, especially like a kid actor, like, you know, you're like for that amount of time, like just year round, like it'd never work. Right. So you need to like, especially with child actors, right? Like you need them to have something to look forward to. And if all you're doing is like making them like just eat like spinach, egg whites, you know, forever. Like, I mean, they're just at some point, it's just like, they're going to fall off so hard. There's no return, you know, like there's like cake, ice cream, you know? So I think like, you know, like having that, like, okay, it's coming up in 3 months. Hey, we got to start prepping. And then like around this time is when we really need to go all in. So you look good on camera. And then we can have like an off week and that whole thing. And like, for me, like it's been really cool to like watch that, with Josh and Jack, like, and just like kind of the dynamic of that, right? Like where it's like, okay, it's go time. Okay. Now we can eat whatever we want. And go, you know, go out for ice cream or eat pizza or, you know, and like being around him when he's on, it's like, he's on, you know? So it's just like, it is a lot of like, I don't want to call, like, it's kind of like a yo-yo or like up and down a lot. 'Cause you can't do that 24/7 forever.
Yeah.
You know,
it's interesting. Like it's a nice little segue where, so there's two people that I want to talk to you about with coaching. So one of them, both of them kind of fall into that. One of them particularly, but most recently I saw you at Rogue helping Bethany Shadburn Flores with her performance there. And you were kind of like supporting her. And Josh seems to be doing a lot of like videography and stuff for her and making stuff for her as well, which is cool. It's good to have a man of many hats helping around.
He does.
And she's an interesting one. So she obviously moved from Vegas and moved over like that side of the country. towards where you guys are. Her husband has a job or something over there, is it? He's a coach or something?
Bethany and I, so we do not coach Bethany. We're just really, really good friends. So basically she moved out here to live with her now husband. And he works for the Lakers. He's a strength and conditioning coach, and he is Randy Flores. He's awesome, and he is a very, very, very knowledgeable strength and conditioning coach. So she moved out here from Vegas, and I think it was just timing. Like, she had the back thing going on, and I think that was kind of like a good time for her, right, to leave Vegas, because obviously she wanted to be with Randy. And so, yeah, we were at, so basically, like, I reached out to her. I had competed against her, in the past, and she was, coming off injury. I was like super pregnant. And so we just like started hanging out. We started working out together. And throughout the season last year at the Open quarterfinals, we just kind of like got together, did the workouts. And I knew kind of like where I was at. Like, I just, wasn't at the same levels I've been at in the past. And so I just kind of like, for the first time ever, I just needed to take like a step back and just like, kind of like, you know, support someone else, the way I would have loved to be supported. And so I think like at that time, is kind of like when our friendship grew a little bit.
What does that look like? Like, what does that kind of support look like when it's not an official capacity? Like, what kind of things do you offer?
I think just like showing up, right? And just, I think we're both like kind of in like this place of like not maybe having like all this confidence that we're used to having. And just kind of like cheering her on, dude. Like, just, you know, I think this sport is very lonely on the individual side of things. Like, I can't speak much on the team side of things, but being an individual for as long as I have, like, it can be very lonely, and you have to be good at pushing when nobody's watching. And so when these things come up and she's trying to come back in and see if she can make semifinals, right? Like, I think for us to just kind of like show up for her, like physically just say, hey, we're here, we got you. It doesn't matter if you make it. And if you do, great. Like, you know, and I think that we kind of offered this like no pressure, like, situation for her, to where we genuinely wanted her to succeed. And like, no matter what, we were like so proud of her. So basically, like, we did all of the workouts together, and then like quarterfinals rolled around, and we gave those a go. And she smashed it, obviously. And she's, Bethany is one of those people where I'm just like, she moves so well. And I know what she's capable of. I mean, I competed against her at West Coast Classic. And that was, I was fit that year. Like, I was so fit. And I mean, she swept that competition. Like, it was insane. So she is so capable of so much. And I think just like I said, like, I think just building like these real relationships in the CrossFit space are so important, to where you can kind of like if you were to leave tomorrow, like, you know, can you look to your right and left, and do you have friends? Like, did you make any relationships while you're doing the thing? Or were you so focused about yourself that you leave and you're just like bitter, you know? And I just think that like for myself this last year, I think just like putting my, you know, like kind of like, you know, like, I'd been trying to qualify for the games for a very long time. And so I was just like, you know what? Like, there's more to life than CrossFit. And I think just like, just kind of like building a friendship with Bethany and Randy this last year, like, just really, I think, kind of set, like, I don't know, like, it kind of gave her this like boost that she might have needed, you know, without expecting anything in return.
Is that like what you're talking about there, the looking left and right and the maybe potential bitterness? Is that like true experience, like say pre, like up as far as that West Coast Classic that you had?
Did you
walk away from that and be like, fuck, like I've kind of not really done this the way I would have wanted to do it, and now you're kind of helping other people do it the way you would have?
No, I think just like talking, like I think, you know, I've been in this space a long time and I have seen people like kind of leave the sport and just be like, ugh, I hate CrossFit, you know? And I just like, I don't want to leave like this space. I don't want to leave the space, right? And so I think there's other hats to be worn. You know, if like maybe you're not at that top notch level at the moment. And so like, I think there are opportunities to make friends in this space and like lifelong friendships. And I think a lot of people look past that in the moment because they're so focused on themselves and like winning and like that, you know, that there's just a lot of like, I think jealousy, like on the girl side, like I think that there could be like a lot of like jealousy and like, you know, like maybe like you just really don't want them to win, like you want it all. And so I think, not necessarily from experience, because I think I've been aware of that. And I kind of like, you know, I know the kind of personality you have to like do well in the sport. And so, yeah, I think just, you know, making sure that I'm giving back what I'm able to give back, you know, and I think right now that just calls for a lot of support. And like, I can, you know, like I can show up for people, you know, and be proud of other people, and lift them up when they need it.
Do you think that is unique to the female side, or do you think it's just that females in general, this is total generalization, but the females in general maybe wear their heart in their sleeve a bit more and they're maybe a bit more obvious about it?
Yeah, I think it's definitely more of a female thing. I'm sure the guys experience it too a little bit, but in a different way. But yeah, I do. Yeah. I think it's a little more of a girl thing, right? Like, I mean, we could talk like, you know, like me, like 8 years ago, right? Like I kind of knew, like I don't, like for me back then, like being a little more immature, like I think I was so aware of kind of how I was that I didn't really want to throw myself into like a situation with like a bunch of competitors. Like I didn't want to be around them all the time. And so, just being like kind of aware of like how that is, right? Cause I never wanted to feel like I was losing every day and all that good stuff. So I think like just being aware of kind of how I was when I was really immature and just like maturing now, like I know that the sport is very lonely. So if I'm able to like give back in this way of like, dude, I got you. Like, I'm proud of you. Like this stuff is hard, right? Like you don't need to like turn your shoulder on people. Like you just like, it's hard. It's already hard enough. So if we can just like be there and show up, like, I think that's more than enough. You know, for as someone like Bethany, right? Like just being the support system, like I feel like she needs, you know, and too, like, she's awesome. Like we literally, like, it's funny. Cause I'm like, even without CrossFit, like we totally hang out. Like we went line dancing. We went to a cat cafe. Like, I mean, it's like fun stuff, right? It has nothing to do with fitness.
not two activities I would have picked of a line of activities.
Right? Exactly. But that's what I'm talking about. Right. Like, and I think CrossFit was this thing that we share. But they're like, there's like a lifelong friendship that came out of that, you know?
Yeah. So is there like, you talk about like potential cattiness and stuff from females. Mm-hmm. Is there like, have you ever had any conversation? Cause like Perrin, she works with Perrin from Think Tank. Has there ever been any like, right, we need to set some ground rules. Like, you know, like about, are you, you know, like any of those kind of official conversations, or is do you view your role purely as like kind of, I'm trying to think of a way to describe it that isn't weird, and the only thing I can think of is doula, and I know that doesn't make sense, but like that you're like supporting her through like what she's doing without,
yeah, kind of, yeah, like as far as like Bethany goes, yeah, kind of just like We are literally her support system. Yeah. Josh and I have been helping her with a lot of the like media side of things, and making sure she's like capturing her career in a really cool way. And like, we're kind of like you said earlier, like Josh wears a lot of hats, and we have a lot of things we love to do. We like, you know, and like, we like to go above and beyond when we do things. And we've put in a lot of like work to be able to do those things. And we're very much like, if a door opens, like go through it, because if you don't go through it, someone else will. And because of the work and time we have put in, we have a lot of confidence in the things we do. So like, as far as just like Bethany, she's like, you know, working with Perrin, like Randy, like I said earlier, like he is very smart. Like he, you know, and just like the strength side of things, like he knows so much, and it's really fun to like hear him talk about all that stuff. So yeah, for me, like, and Josh, like we're purely like good friends with her. We're a support system. And we've been helping with like capturing some like media stuff, and which has been really cool too, because like we have pulled in some like camera ops that like work in
so they have no work, so they're not doing
right. But like they all
a crew of like 12 around her when she's doing pull-ups
right, but they've all done like CrossFit, so it's kind of cool because they work in film and TV, but they do CrossFit, so they love it. So to be able to like, kind of bridge those gaps too, has been really fun, you know, because we know kind of like, oh, the shots we want and like what we like, the story, like we want her to be able to tell and stuff. And so that's been really fun. And that like, we're at Rogue with her. And that was like pretty much like the reason to watch her, obviously, because that's what we were doing, but to also like make sure we were capturing that part of her season as well. Cause like, she didn't really know how far she was going to go in the season. Right. Like it was all kind of like, she was like, if I make semifinals, I'm like in the back, like in my gut, she was making semifinals, you know? And then like, I mean, she completely annihilated semifinals when she was there. Right. And so it's just like one of those things where like doors kept opening for her and she kept going through them and they're paying off. And she is a very incredible athlete. And I think there's a big future for her coming, you know, obviously she's working through a lot of injury and stuff. But yeah, we're super proud of her, and it's been a really fun season. It was the first season like I've stepped away from like competing, like, which was, was also super weird. But I feel like if I hadn't, linked up with her, like, I'm wondering if I would have just been like, I don't want to be around this, you know, like, I don't, like, why am I doing this? You know, like kind of thing, you know? And I think it was like kind of a blessing in disguise for me too, to just say like, hey, like you could totally still be involved, even if you're not like just, you know, qualifying for everything and all this stuff, you know, it took a little like pressure off me per se, you know?
So then I guess luckily that you struck up the friendship with her then, because now you're, I don't really know what your relationship is, but you seem to be doing a similar but slightly more hands-on approach with Haley Adams now this year. Is that true?
Yeah. So Josh and I, yes, we are working with Haley Adams. And that is a coaching role. So we are working with her. So a very different role, like not like, I mean, obviously like we're friends and everything, but with Bethany, it was very much like we kind of linked up. She lives in LA. We hit it off. Like, we love hanging out with her and stuff, and we are going to do whatever we can to like help her in whatever capacity we can help her in. But yeah, with Haley, we are working with her, and it's super cool, and we're so excited. And yeah, I guess we can kind of talk about that a little bit.
How is that structured, like, for? How is it structured for So it's a coaching role, but like, is she a mayhem athlete? Is Facundo working with you and her, or is it just you guys now? Or?
So we actually just met Facundo at Rogue. I like talked to him before. And so like, I know that they talk quite a bit, and I know he's like seen the stuff that we send her and stuff, but like we, as of now, we haven't really like, been in direct contact with him. Mm-hmm. So we send her stuff. And it's very tailored towards Haley. So it's, you know, it's a lot different than I think what she's done in the past, which obviously, like, let's be real, like Haley is just very fit, right? Like she has what we call it, right? Mm-hmm. Like she's just got it, right? And so I think that just her having it has got her so far in sport. Like, I mean, she's incredible. And I think just having maybe like a little more like structure, maybe we can call it that, in her training is something that we're just changing, right? Like, I don't think that that's something she's necessarily done in the past. We have her on a lot of progressions, and it kind of like, it's funny because when I first started CrossFit, like I was very much like all my things were progressions, you know? And then I actually at some point, I think it was during COVID, I've actually like followed the Mayhem programming and stuff. So I've like also kind of like seen a lot of what she's done. And so I just, you know, like I think just like kind of, it's funny because like I feel like she was doing a lot of that stuff. And now we have our own progressions, and I did the opposite, you know, with my career. So, I think we have a very good understanding of like, kind of like what she's done in the past. We talked a lot about, you know, like it was funny too, cause at first we weren't really like sure. We're like, all right, we can try this. Like we weren't even really sure what it was.
How did it initiate? How did it start?
Basically like she was out in LA and we, went and grabbed like lunch with her at this like fun little brunch spot. It had like rainbow lattes. It was super fun. And she was just talking and we were, you know, I asked her, I was like, you know, are you thinking about coming back? Like, you know, she's like, oh, I'm not really sure. And like, I want to, but I don't know. And so eventually like, Josh and I actually like we suggested a few coaches camps and she's like, I don't want to camp. And so I think that's a big, you know, and I think that's just like something that's different. Like there's nothing against camps. I think that just every athlete's going to be a little different and they're going to need something a little different in their day-to-day thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so we kind of knew from the get-go, we were like, okay, she doesn't want to camp. So, you know, we were like, what about this person? What about this person? And then eventually it was like, kind of like, well, what would you guys give me, you know, if, you know, and we're like, all right. So we sent her like, basically like this like spreadsheet of kind of like what, like this cycle would look like, you know, and just like kind of laid it out. Sent that over and she like kind of did it, you know? And so it was a lot of like that, like kind of like back and forth, like, do they know what they're talking about? Do I, you know, it's a little bit of like that. And so eventually it just kind of like organically happened. And yeah, dude, it's been really cool. It's really special. Like I think, you know, I think like the most important thing for her right now is that she's having fun in the gym and enjoying like just being there.
Like hearing her talk on, she's on with Savan recently. Mm-hmm. And she just sounded like damaged, like she had been broken.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Something like there was just something missing. Like it wasn't even a case of like, or like the love of competing. Like I actually just felt so sorry for her that it was like, it's kind of like you're talking about with that, with Jack and like how Josh was helping him with this, the kind of yo-yo thing of like, that you can't just consistently keep going forever. That it's basically, that's what happened. It was like, you said, it's like what happens with these kids is you can't keep going forever. And like, she was a kid and she was just going forever and just basically just ran into the ground.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like you can get really lost in like CrossFit, I think, like, because right. Like, when you start, like, you're like, oh man, I love this. And then you start getting better and you're like, wow, I love this. And then like at some point you just dive right in and then you can't stop. Right.
But it's like, about. It's like one season ends, then there's another event or there's another, like, there's always something coming.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you kind of like get to this, you're like, I'm never going to be good enough. I got to put in more work. I got to do more than them. I got to do this. I got to do that. So it's like this like hamster wheel. And it's like, when you don't have like very individualized, like over the shoulder help, I think that it's really easy to do that, you know, to just kind of like keep going and it's never enough. And just like, kind of, if I don't do this today, then I'm losing and, you know, just like things like that. Right. And just maybe like not seeing like progression on the leaderboard. Right. Like maybe like, cause also like, I think people like a lot of people, like they'll like look up like, oh, where'd they place? Right. And it's like, you're married to this like placement constantly on the leaderboard in CrossFit because people like have a hard time. Like they can't really like watch it. Like they don't really know what's happening. Like it's kind of confusing. It's hard to follow. And I think like, if you're able to kind of just like say like, okay, for the leaderboard, like, am I getting better? Like, right. And I think like, we're really trying to like keep her on these progressions so she can see her improvement with herself. And I think that when you have like an athlete that has it and their confidence is lifted and built up, like I think that can be really dangerous. I think, you know, I think that like the way like we're kind of approaching her is really good. It's really healthy. She's happy. Like we're constantly like checking in with her, you know, and I don't know what it looked like for her in the past. Like we're not, you know, we're not trying to like replace like what she's always had. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're just like an extension that like, we're like, we got you. Like, let's do this. Like I said earlier with Bethany, we're very much the people that will show up, you know, and we've put in a lot of work when nobody was looking, nobody's asking. You know, I've been competing for like 10 years, you know, it's been a long time. And I think like, for me, like I understand like kind of like the headspace of the athlete and like all that emotional stuff. And obviously like I've applied a lot of like training protocols. And then with Josh, like, I mean, he's very much like just like in the books, very smart. And with us too, it's like, we're very much like, if we don't know something, like we're going to go find someone that knows how to do it better. Mm-hmm. Right. Like if that's, like swimming, right. Like we're going to go find a coach at the college level, the Olympic level, and we're going to ask them, are we missing something? Are we not seeing something? And so I think like, it's really like, it's a really, really cool, opportunity for us because we love this kind of stuff. We love CrossFit. But like, it's fun because we're like networking, we're pulling in people that, that can help us also with her. So,
like, was some of your work, say on the psychological side, done by the fact that she had taken time off? Like, do you think if like, when you got her, was she, that sounds like she was a trading card. When she started working with you guys, did you notice, like, was she in a better place than you thought she would be from what you had seen and heard? Was she in a worse place, like psychologically, say, or mentally, than you thought she was going to be when you started working with her? Like, how much attention do you pay to that? Because like, I was talking to someone about it the other day, and they were saying that we were kind of chatting about like, will Mal come back? Will Haley come back? Is the games a gimme? Like, are they just a shoe-in to make it to the games?
Yeah.
And I kind of land on the side of like, well, it depends what's happened between their ears in the last 12 months. Like if they come back and they're the same person mentally that they were before their break, it's only a matter of time before the same, like if they just said like, I'll be fine and just kept plugging away, went back into the old routines and stuff, regardless of what the training is like, I feel like it's just inevitable that it's going to happen again. So how much attention do you pay? Like, you talk about outsourcing stuff like swimming and stuff. Is that something else that you look at outsourcing? Is it your own experience? Is it just kind of a fluent conversation? Because I suppose one of the things that I noticed is that you say that she didn't want to camp. And from what I've seen on her social media and on your social media, it's like she's moved from a camp literally into a family. Like, she seems like she's part of your family and part of that rather than like a machine.
Yeah. And I think like for some athletes, like that's kind of all you really need. You just need like kind of to keep the circle a little smaller and just check in with those people because there's not a lot of comparison happening. And what you're saying, we do have a lot of like conversation with her. Right. And so we are constantly talking. Like, we kind of like met her where she was at. Right. Like, she had taken some time off and it's like, we didn't come in with any expectation. We weren't like, oh, you should be able to do all this, right? Like, it's kind of like, dude, where are you at? You taking some time off? Let's kind of like pull it back. Let's see where you're at, not just physically, but mentally, you know, and just kind of like build from there. And I think that approach is healthy, right? Like, it trends in the healthy direction. But yeah, it is. I mean, it's like with any athlete at this level, like, you have to have someone that you're constantly checking in with. Because if you don't, it can burn you out. And then all you have is just like your mind and like the workouts, right? Like, you need to have like some outside stuff. And I know, like, for me, like, I know I never went fully all in with CrossFit, right? Like, I wasn't doing it full time and stuff. And I had a lot of balance and maybe like, I don't know, like maybe like having like some coaches that also have like other things going on. Like, maybe like she likes that, you know, like maybe it's like, oh dude, like she's got kids, she's got husband. Like, they, you know, it's like, maybe they're like, maybe like it's not just the CrossFit. Maybe we're also teaching her like, hey dude, like there's more to life. Like, you can be really, really good at this, but you can also like enjoy your life, right? And I think like maybe that's why like we were kind of like placed in this situation, you know, is to just kind of like help her because obviously she's young and she's got so many years ahead of her. And too, like, you know, we told her, it's like she doesn't have to do this, right? Like, and we're gonna like her and we're gonna love her no matter what. Like, she doesn't have to do this, you know. And I think just like maybe hearing that, like maybe that's something that kind of like she can appreciate, you know? Because like, honestly, like I love, like when I get a workout with her, you know, when we're in the same state, like it's super fun, you know? It's like, it's fun to like kind of have this like genuine relationship with people and then to be able to work out with them. It is really hard to be around your competitors if you're not like friends first. Like, I think like when you're building like camps and stuff, like if I were to have a camp, like I would like make sure that like everyone was kind of on the same page, all the personalities were clicking, and you know, make sure that we're building like a genuine like friendship with people and then having the camp. Cause then it's like all fun and games. And I think sometimes it's being done maybe backwards. And maybe it's like, it just gets to you, right? Like, I can't imagine, like, just from my personal experience, like, just being in the same room as, like, people like I'm competing against, like, you know, at semifinals, like, on the daily. Like, I think I don't know. I know for me, like, I would probably, like, a lot of that, like, jealousy, like, the younger version of me, like, a lot of, like, jealousy and just, like, I'm not good enough, maybe, like, that kind of stuff, like, kind of comes out. So, and if you know that about yourself, it's okay to like kind of just be like, okay, I need to change things up, you know? Like, and that's just like my experience, right? Like I love like dropping into gyms and like training with people and like making sure like I'm making good friendships with people and stuff, but like just the day to day is where it's like, okay, this gets pretty hard if you're always around it. Cause you're just like always competing, right? It's just always a competition. And that could get exhausting.
Yeah. I know you're saying that like, she doesn't have to do it. And she's aware that she doesn't have to do it. And I guess that ramps up the buy-in because it's a choice rather than a chore or rather than an obligation or whatever. Have you prepared her or is she preparing herself for the spotlight being back on her for when she does turn up on a, like, whether it's Miami or, you know, some semifinal or the games or whatever? I mean, before she took her break, it was always like fittest American woman and fit, you know, we need to, and there was all that pressure, like felt like it was mounting pretty year on
for
year.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely talk about that. And, you know, like we obviously not on the CrossFit side of things, like, but in the entertainment world, we, you know, have a lot of, we have a lot of people that are in the spotlight quite a bit, and it's kind of the same thing. Like you just kind of need to like really get through to them. And it's a different generation now. Like I'm very aware of it because everyone's on their phone and stuff. I think a lot of the time, like if they can just like kind of like maybe not worry too much about the people that don't really know them, like, and maybe just like kind of keep that circle tight, you know, and lean on to the people that are, they got you no matter what, they know what's going on and stuff. And I think that we are doing our best to prepare her for that spotlight coming in, you know,
is avoidance a possibility? Like, hey, just like fuck your phone for 6 months. Just get, you know, like just delete your social media for 6 months and then just,
I like your idea there. I honestly, because like just the generation, I don't think it's possible.
It's a short-term solution. It's like a, just set up a fake account so you can keep an eye on your friends and shit, but don't post your training. Don't follow any games athletes. Don't, you know, like just train and just keep your head down and don't avoid. And it's the same. I remember like straight away with Mal, I remember hearing Savannah saying like her head's in her phone, and it's like it is a generational thing where you're surrounded by the algorithm is just pumping content to you whether you like it or not. That's what you're doing, and it's for them, it's going to be their direct competitors, and it's going to be, I remember hearing Haley talk on Savannah about how being afraid that other people are doing more, and that works for some people, like it worked Fraser famously, that's how he trained, afraid. But you do have this thing of like they are just kids and there's a lot of pressure as soon, like Tia retires and or Tia takes her break and suddenly it's, well, Mal's gonna win now obviously, so away the pressure is up to 1,000. And then if it's not Mal, it's, well, Haley finished like fifth last year, so she has to, and now the pressure's on her. And like it is hard because media and analysts and everything else need something to talk about. We are going to talk about who's going to do what and who's going to do well and who might struggle and, you know, what are certain people's pitfalls and whatever. And I think I and others adopt the approach of talking about the athletes like their football teams. So, oh, that team's defense is shit translates as, oh, 100%. her squad is shit comparatively. Or that team's offense is shit translates as like, oh, that guy's gymnastics are fucking awful comparatively. I hope everyone appreciates how I changed that to an American sport reference rather than but it's a tricky one to manage because I suppose avoidance, it's a short-term solution, but then there's also that thing of, we were talking about the other day on the Games Review show talking about Tia and how now she's been beaten for the first time in years. It's like Laura knows that she's beatable now, like she knows that there isn't that hoodoo around it. And you know, when it's a sport like CrossFit, psychological, like there's a lot of psychological stuff in the sport because it's a solo thing like golf or whatever, and you would wonder about the weight that that would carry for someone like Haley or someone like Mal, or the boost it would give competitors against Haley or against Mal who see like, oh, they're weak, they took time off. Or they might think, oh, I'm weak, I had to take time off. Or, oh, this, like, what have these been doing when I took my time off? You know, that kind of thing where it's at your lowest moment or at your most pressured moment that those thoughts start to creep in or are in danger of creeping in. Do you think that those two girls can get back to where they were? Do you think, are they potential games champions? Do you think, is that something?
I absolutely do think that they can get back to where they have been in the past. I think that, you know, obviously I don't know Mal. I know she's very good friends with Haley and stuff, but as far as Haley goes, I think she's made some changes that she needed to make, in order, like she just needed to like almost like kind of like start fresh. But I think that like myself and Josh, like if we can do something right, we can hype this girl up to give her what she needs in the realm of like support. I think like we are very good at making sure she's working hard, but also giving her some fun, right? Like we're constantly checking in. She told us that there was like a, I think it was like a fundraiser at Mayhem or whatever. And she had like some training to do. And she's like, oh, should I, you know, do my training or hop into this like fundraiser? We're like, do the fundraiser, you know, like go do that. Like that's good for you. You know, like that's going to make you feel good, you know, or like just making sure that she's got like a little balance, because I think people forget that she is only 22 years old, right? Like she's been, I mean, her career has been as long as mine, and I'm like 12 years older, 14 years old, older than her. So it's like, she missed that, like, you know, like she didn't go to prom, right? Like, it's like, there's like little things like that, like, but they like, they matter. And so I think just making sure that like, we're aware of that, and like that, we can like add a little balance in there for her, you know, while she's still working hard, you know? And I do think it's possible, but yeah, cause it's like, if she does the same thing she did last time, the same thing might happen. Right. Yeah. So I think it's important to kind of like just change it up a little bit, cause you don't know what you don't know. Right. And so I think just the like positive shift also too, you have to remember if Haley, like if she's happy, that is scary. Like a happy Haley is very scary. Like a happy competitor is like, you know, just like that's dangerous, you know? And so I think it's like, that's the number one goal, right? Is just making sure she's having a good time. Because if you're having a good time, you want to be in the gym, you're going to train harder. You're going to, you know, you're just going to put like, you're going to pay attention to the details. You're going to do all the little things, because you're happy. You know, and like, I like also, I hope that like, you know, this younger generation in the CrossFit space, like, I hope they don't, you know, just come compete for a few years and then leave. Because I mean, CrossFit's kind of like one of those things. It's like, it's really here to keep you like healthy and happy and fit, so you can do things longer, you know, and not to mention you meet really awesome people and you got to connect with them, you know? So I don't know. I think that the change is really, really good for her. I think that she's, you know, what I will say is like, what I appreciate about her, she's really willing to pivot. Like, and so is my husband. And I think that when you're willing to kind of pivot, like there's other opportunities for you, you know, and cool things happen when you're someone that can kind of say, you know what, this isn't working, let's go this way. Okay, that's not working, let's go this way. And I think that is like a skill in itself. And it, like, I know for me, like, that's a really hard thing to do. Like, I'm like, oh, this is what I've always done. Like, I'm kind of scared, right? And I think just being able to have that skill can really lead to some success, like, later down the road.
Is a camp or like taking on more athletes, is that something that you're interested in doing? Is this like a test run to see how it goes?
So right now Josh and I actually like talked about this. It's very much so like we want to focus on Haley. So I would say no right now, as far as like that level of athlete. Like we have other like clients that are in the CrossFit space, but they're not at the games level. You know, and we've been doing that for a very long time, as well. But yeah, like as of right now, I just think like focusing on like one and making sure that that is done, well, is kind of like what we want, You know, we want to do this really well. We want to make sure that we're getting, we want to move the needle with her. Because if we're going to do something, we want to do it right. You know, and we don't want like our plate to be so full to where we can't do a good job. You know, and so it's just like, yeah, it's like one of those things too, right? It's like, we don't want to spread ourselves too thin, because then I don't feel like we can pour the same amount of energy into it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and like for us too, like, you know, we obviously, we have a successful career in the film and TV world. And like, we do this because we just love it, right? Like, we love CrossFit. Like, in, we have always like, we've always been like, oh, it'd be really cool to like coach someone at like the high level. Like, we didn't think like it was going to wrap around and be Haley, you know, like, so it's just, I mean, it's crazy. But like for us, like I said earlier, it's like when those doors open, like, and you know, you can crush it, like, why not? You know?
Mm. Yeah. So. I like that. Well, listen, I'll let you go. Thanks for giving up so much of your time and coming on.
Oh, for sure.
Good luck with Haley season and you know, your doula role with Bethany, if that continues as well.
She's gonna think that's so funny.
Yeah, I don't know. You can coin that phrase if you like.